This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. This is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Today is Tuesday, January 19th. The time is 10:05 a.m. And let's just cut to the chase. Gentlemen, we are entering a brand new era of Tennessee football after the events that transpired yesterday. As most breaking news does, just about 3 minutes, maybe even less. Just a couple of minutes after we went off air yesterday, of course, the news is broken. The news has heard around the world, and it happened. You heard it here yesterday morning that there were rumblings going on. You heard that first on Talk Sports with what Houston told you.
Three and out.
Then we talked about it a little bit yesterday. Right, we talked about a potential meeting going on, but we didn't really hear anything about it during our show. And then, again, just a couple of minutes later, everything happens. Now, I got to start by saying this. Here's kind of the crazy thing. January 18th, 2020, so 366 days ago, Tennessee was holding on to a six-game win streak. Holding on to the second longest win streak in the country. You were 9 days removed from Trey Smith's return announcement. You were 4 months away from shocking the world in the middle of a pandemic in recruiting. And you are seemingly about to extend head coach Jeremy Pruitt.
No, they did.
Fast forward 1 year later. Well, that was on January 18, 2020. Fast forward 1 year later, after all of those things were happening, second longest win streak, six games, Trey Smith returning, about to shock the world, 1 year later. On January 18, 2021, Tennessee has fired Jeremy Pruitt. Watch Philip Fulmer step down as athletic director. Has a record of 1-7 in their last games, finished fifth in the East. The record at Tennessee for consecutive losses by a certain margin. Dropped to 15th in the recruiting rankings for that coveted class. My, oh my, how things can change. And this is the day that the new era kind of begins. Or I guess it was yesterday, more so. Hey, thanks for tuning in today. We got a massive show today. Obviously, we have one topic and one topic only. So let's get right into it. Hey, my name is Rick Butler. Joined to my left, that is Brandon Orrick. Joined to my right, that is Charlie Collier. And, of course, back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. The gang is all here. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all doing?
I'm doing great, Rick.
All right.
Doing great.
All right. Chance, Charlie?
Feeling pretty good. Got me a biscuit this morning.
A biscuit?
Got a biscuit. Starting off right.
Oh, man.
Quality breakfast. Is that a day.
Is that a biscuit, a celebration biscuit, you will?
Oh, yeah. I even have, for hour number two, because I want to pace you boys, and I don't trust Charlie.
Did you bring us gifts?
I brought champagne.
Ah!
Wow.
I brought champagne.
Wow.
This is not a lie.
Look at that.
This is not a
lie. Look at that.
This is not a lie.
Let's go.
I have champagne because it's a good day.
Get blitzed.
It's a good day. But I couldn't bring it in the first hour. I want to keep you guys professional. We also have a special guest coming on with us at 10:30. So I want to keep everybody alert. But hour number two, we celebrate.
Wow. Okay.
We cheers.
Open a little bit of the bubbly.
We toast. It's a new day. It's a new day, boys.
It is. Chance is absolutely right. It is a new day. It is a new era. Charlie, how you doing this morning?
Well, I was going to just say all right, and then Chance said he was bringing out the champagne. Now I'm pretty good.
Happy Tuesday, huh?
Happy Tuesday.
You just didn't know.
There you go.
Hey, Brandon knew it all along. Tuesdays.
He did.
Tuesdays.
He did.
It's
a
Tuesday.
Brandon and Charlie were very convinced it was going to happen. Just take time. I didn't think it was going to happen, but I am very much excited. This is a good day. It's going to be a good week. It's going to be a good 2021. If they make the right hire.
Well, that's the next question, right? We've been kind of...
Well, hold on.
No, we still get to get the bask in the fact that he's
still
gone.
Need to celebrate.
Oh,
we got to celebrate the first step.
For sure.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, you have to get ahead of yourself. You do. We will get to there.
I mean, they do. We don't.
No, we do. We're gonna do that too. But yes.
I find it hard to celebrate.
I was gonna say.
Really?
I do think though that there are extenuating circumstances here.
Why?
Why
is it hard to celebrate?
Well, hold on. I think that for months now, we have known that Jeremy Pruitt in the current administration was never going to take Tennessee above the step where it's at, and never going to take it to the next level. And I think for months, we asked for a new head football coach. And what we got in return was a new football program on the horizon. You know, I was talking to somebody about this yesterday, and I thought about the Texas situation. You know, here's why things are different. I think here's why, it's a different day than when Butch Jones was fired. When Butch Jones was fired, you guys know the story. We had the Knoxville's finest come over to our house in West Hills because we had a couch burning in the backyard. Like, that was a celebration.
And that's kind of what kicked out.
Yeah. And that's kind of what, you know, Texas had this year with Herman, right? It wasn't anything else going on. It was just, hey, we are not content with where the program is in terms of winning and losing, and we're going to move on. And that was the same way it was when Butch was here. But this is a little bit different, right? Again, we asked for a new head football coach, and we're certainly going to get it. So that's great. We get to reset the program. But in turn, I don't think we really understood how big of a program reset that it would be in the long term.
Why? That's a bad thing? That's a bad thing? That we get to reset completely of our football program that, if you can even call it that?
Yeah, it's a
good thing. It's a joke. It's dead. It's rotting. We need a hard reset.
You know, you had kind of brought it up the other day, and in a joking fashion, right, as we kind of do, but looking back at it in hindsight with a little bit of truth maybe layered in there, you know, you talked about the other day, let's just blow it up for a couple years, right? Let's just take our hands off the wheel. Let's blow it up for a couple years. Let's come back and let's see how it goes, right? We were talking about the American Badass Undertaker. And obviously that's far out of the question, but ultimately, Brandon, this is kind of as close to a situation reality to that as you're going to get. Right, with all the violations that are coming down, with all the, you know, there are going to be penalties and there are going to be punishments, but you are going to have this sense of refresh, this sense of reset. Now, granted, I think it does kind of suck because it feels like we've been in a period of reset, or it feels like we've been at a point where we felt like we've hit the reset button already. But this is far greater than any of those have exceeded, at least in my opinion. in terms of, like we were saying, hitting the reset button?
Yeah, what I was saying, it's hard to be excited for a couple of reasons, just because, yes, we did want a new coach. Yes, I am glad that we are going to get the opportunity to reset the leadership of the football program, the athletic director, the head coach. That's a great thing. But what we had to do to get to that point is concerning. I mean, our program is somehow the level of dumpster fire is now elevated with level one and level two violations, with Jeremy Pruitt's lawyer claiming that there was no cause for him to be fired and that they're going to fight it and everything along those lines, and the fact that we had to pull this investigation to fire a coach instead of just firing a coach. And you know, I feel bad for Pruitt to an extent, too, because, I mean, as bad of a football coach as we say he is, he was a great guy, and you got to give him credit for working his tail off until the last moment of his career here. So it's tough to see him have to go down like that as well. I don't know. There's just we're not in a great place at all. I mean, we have a ginormous uphill climb right now as a program that's going to take a long time to get out of and a lot of correct decisions.
Right, coach, maybe 2-3 years at most. But, like, not if you get the right coach. You might even have a great year this coming season. I don't feel bad for him at all. I think he's an idiot. He wanted to be so much like Saban, but he's nowhere near that. And like, just the way, like, he kind of even – even talk to media, even our guy, Blake Topmeyer, that we're going to have on, he's just, like, very pompous for somebody who hasn't earned anything. And he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. He's earned his stripes there. But just kind of the way he came in and just all the stories that you've heard come out and, you know, just I don't feel bad for him.
I haven't really heard bad things about him.
I've heard a lot of bad things. Staff not wanting to work with him, like just the way he treated people on his staff. Like, there are a lot of rumors out there about that, about the way he treated, you know, fellow coaches on his staff. I think he's a guy who felt he was already there before he had gotten there, maybe off the 6-game winning streak last season, but I don't feel bad for his ass at all.
We will get into the press conference that went down on campus yesterday between Chancellor Donnie Plowman and Fulmer and everybody else involved. There were pretty good moments coming out of that. Especially the one video that's been going around, or the one quote especially that's been going around, talking about recruiting. It is kind of as funny as you might have heard that it has been. But, man, what a day it was yesterday. Just when you look at it in total hindsight, and I will be honest, I think I did underestimate maybe how big this investigation was going to get.
Yeah,
I did not expect, you know, the level that we had seen yesterday.
I know we'll break it down. I mean, hearing, like, one of the key questions that Trey asked Donnie Plowman, you know, and she replied with, you know, I think it was like she didn't the amount of people involved,
yeah,
and the amount of, I guess, pretty much to paraphrase, the amount of violations that occurred was very surprising, and that was one of the more shocking things. Like, Charlie's right. Like, as far as, like, violations, yeah, this is bad. But, like, with the right coach, I mean, maybe there's already people out there saying that Tennessee probably is going to expect, like, a postseason ban next year, this coming season, things like that. Things might be bad. But if you get the right coach in here, you can turn it around pretty quickly. You know somebody who I might feel a little bit bad for? For Fulmer. Because I really do honestly think he wanted to fix football. I think deep down he wanted to fix football and he wanted this guy to work. But he just hired the wrong guy.
I mean,
you live by the coup, you die by the coup, Chance.
No. He did it to David Blackburn. Like, honestly, honestly,
he did it to
King Johnny.
Yeah. You live by the coup, you die by the coup.
A lot of people saying it's karma back to him. And you know, I heard Trey talking about it. You know, because obviously Trey's been on the pulse of it, talking about it yesterday afternoon when I was listening to the drive. But don't underestimate also that he wanted to stay. He was
sure.
Told.
Yeah.
Yeah. It obviously, it's going to be rephrased like it's retirement. Yep. And that's the good thing. Hey, shout out to the university for doing that at least. To be like, we're allowing him to retire. Now, they made him
leave. They did that. They did the same thing when he – Yeah. When he –
I know.
When he was forced out as football coach.
That was kind of the whole what's the word I'm looking for? That was kind of the whole vibe, I guess, of the press conference yesterday was just saving face – for
former. But he did look sad up there.
I'm
he did
be
look
honest,
sad up
I,
there.
I think he's just actually retiring. I don't think he was fully
I don't believe that.
No, I don't either.
Same
no.
day they announced
no,
it?
No.
Hold up. Let me explain.
No way.
At first in the morning, I thought that, yeah, he was being forced to retire. But then he sat down at the press conference, and based off of some of the things he said, I thought he was actually just retiring. He said, look, I'm 70. I want this program to be reset with a coach that's going to be here 10 years, and I want an AD that's going to be there 10 years, too. I'm not going to be there 10 years. To me,
but
that
Fulmer's
just makes
smart.
Sense.
Like, I think that Fulmer is smart, and that's how I justify that. I don't have a way to justify the fact that they announced it on the day that they let go of, like, 10 other people.
Well, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense, because that's what...
They just said
he retired because of this, because that means they have to hire a new head
coach.
But
if he's retiring completely separate from the investigation,
but
there's no reason
it's not separate from the investigation, but it is
retirement.
But
if you're saying he's just retiring because
he doesn't
want to
have
old?
To hire the next head coach. Yeah,
no,
he doesn't
want
to have to hire the next head coach.
I think given the option, he would love to hire the next coach. Mm-hmm. He was not given that option.
Yeah,
I don't think he had the option to hire the next coach.
I don't think so either.
I think that was part of why the press conference went down the way it was yesterday. No one's going to look from a, you know, if you're not tied into exactly what's going on here, you're going to read this ESPN article right here, and you're going to see in the third paragraph that it says that, additionally, Phil Fulmer, a Hall of Fame football coach, plans to retire after leading the athletic department for more than 3 years. That is like the most babyface way to put it. That we know what's going on, and that's what everybody who's going to hear, who's not really in the know about what truly is going on, they're just going to see, oh, okay, well, Tennessee's Hall of Fame athletic director, you know, he's going to retire, because they did not tie him to anything whatsoever. I think that was to save face, but man, this is going to be a fun day. We have so much to get into. We have so much back and forth that's inevitably going to happen as we basically look to see what they're going to do here in this reset of Tennessee football. Hey, by the way, Tennessee is ranked number 6 in the country in basketball.
I called it. I said it yesterday.
You did. You nailed it.
Said 6 or 7.
Boom. You nailed it. So the basketball team's flying high. We got a game tonight. That's pretty much the only other thing I want to get into today. The only other thing. We might be able to hit something along the way, but
no.
Man, today, yeah, let's just go ahead and say that's not going to happen. Tennessee football, and then we'll get you ready for the basketball game at some point because, hey, shout out to those number 6 Tennessee Volunteers in the country. 865-546-8200. That's your number to call in. We would love to hear your thoughts on what
transpired yesterday.
Hey,
Matt, hold on for us. We'll get you after the break.
Yeah, absolutely. And like we had mentioned earlier, stick around because coming up at 10:30 a.m., we'll be joined by Blake Topmeyer of the Knoxville News Sentinel. I can't wait to see what he has to say about what happened yesterday. Don't go anywhere. This is the Blitz. It's a big day. All right, here we go, gentlemen, 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in. It is 10:23 a.m., and we are heading over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Let's get a call from Matt. Good morning, Matt. Welcome into the show today. How are you doing, my man?
Hey, I'm doing good, guys. How about yourself?
Hey,
doing
not
good,
too
Matt.
Bad.
Good, good. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, do you guys not feel like, you know, as a booster or administration, you know, president, chancellor, they've got to feel that they've got to get this one right. Like, you know, we've flubbed up with Butch Jones. We've flubbed up Derek Dooley. Now we've got Pruitt in this situation. I think Kiffin was the last good hire that we had. I mean, as far as potential, I know a lot of people didn't like him. He left. But do you just not get the feel that we have to get this hire right?
It's got to be a splash hire, too.
I don't think it has to be a splash.
It's got to be a name that fans are going to get behind.
I think that they do have to sit there in their offices over on campus, though, and realistically look at the situation and say, hey, whatever has been happening, like, has not worked. And maybe that's what Brandon's point, you know, this morning, you know, about the whole, this is exactly what is needed for this program right now, some kind of total reset.
Well, here's
because clearly the cracks in the armor right now are showing.
I view this situation that we're in with the football program very similar to in 2014 when Donnie Tindall was hired as the basketball coach.
Yeah.
And you hire him and there's cheating going on. It's an embarrassment for the university and you've got to cut him after 1 year. and the basketball program is it's cratered. There's absolutely we're awful.
And you went out and got Rick Barnes. And you go out a splash big name.
And
is
you go
what
out and you got Rick Barnes, and it took him some time. It took him 2 years to build it back up, and now you see where it is. I view this situation with Jeremy Pruitt in a similar way. As far as you got caught cheating.
Yeah.
Football program is a complete dumpster fire. You've got a chance to reset, go out. And I don't think it has to be a big name like Gus Malzahn or Tom Herman or anybody like that or Hugh Freeze. I think you can take Hugh Freeze off the board. There's no chance in hell we're hiring Hugh Freeze.
I kind of agree.
But a name
that sticks out to me, what I think about it is you have to hire a proven head coach. Doesn't have to be a splash hire. Doesn't have to be a Bob Stoops name. One name I look at, if he don't have health problems, is Mark Richt. I mean, hire that dude. He was winning 10 games a year at Georgia. Had him on the right track. Get us there.
He's experienced, and I'm not going to say Mark Richt's not a great coach, but he's also a big name when you're talking. When I say splash, I also mean like somebody, you're right, proven coach, somebody that's winning, somebody that fans are going to get behind because God knows you're going to want to be able to sell some tickets.
There is
too.
An aspect.
A Jamie Chadwell would be a splash hire. That's what I mean.
Billy Napier.
Splash hire. These are good coaches. It doesn't have to be Kiffin. I would love if they went after Lane Kiffin and if any of the rumors are true that he's reached out. But like Gus Malzahn would even still be a big name, and I think the Gus bus would be great here.
There is an aspect of unification.
I'm saying you can't go out and get like a Will coach. Healy. And I think Will Healy is a great up-and-coming coach, but you can't. Don't bring me an up-and-comer here.
Not yet.
I would even throw Chadwell in with Healy in that category.
No.
We've went Chadwell. The coordinator route. We've went the mid-major route, the so-called, I guess, up-and-comers. And I wouldn't call Butch or Derek Dooley an up-and-comer now. But you guys get it. And I just want to know your opinion. You know, like you said, they got to be sitting in their offices, and the big donors have to be sitting there saying, let's get together. Let's make the right hire. Let's get somebody that knows how to rebuild a program and has done it before. The last guys we've hired has no clue how to get a program back on track, and we need to get back on track. That's our main focus right now. Has to be.
I appreciate the call, Matt. Really good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And, man, I do think that, you know, what we were just saying right there, I think that it could happen. Coming up next, we will be talking to Blake Topmeyer. Tennessee football beat writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel and the USA Today Network. We'll be getting his opinion on everything that happened yesterday, on everything that transpired with Jeremy Pruitt and Philip Fulmer and so on. Do not go anywhere. This is going to be an interview you do not want to miss right here on The Blitz. All right, here we go. 10:32 a.m. back here on The Blitz. Rick, Brandon, Chance, and Charlie hanging out with you, making our way through the first hour of the show. And coming up next, we have a very special treat for you. We are joined next by Blake Topmeyer, Tennessee football beat writer for the Knoxville News Sentinel and USA Today Network. He is a busy, busy man this time of year. And in case you want to go find his work, we'll tell you right up the top. At B. Topmeyer on Twitter, and you can go find some of these great articles at knoxnews.com. But we are pleased to be joined by Blake here today on The Blitz. Good morning, Blake. Welcome into the show today. How are you doing?
A little bit tired, a little bit overworked, but that's the way it goes when you got three things going on at once, right? I mean, you got an AD search, we got Tennessee's got a football coach opening, and an ongoing investigation into the football program. So. One story is usually enough, and right now we got three major stories unfolding in real time here at Tennessee.
Yeah, they are definitely giving us plenty of things to talk about, but let's kind of start right there, right? Tennessee has, as you just mentioned, three things on their plate between the athletic director hiring, the head coach hiring, and kind of just some of the fallout and continuation from the investigation. What do you think right now is, where are they at with some of the things like their next steps for the athletic director or something along those lines? Do you know kind of anything about what they're thinking, maybe not in terms of a hiring, but just what the next step is? I know Fulmer's going to carry out for a little while, but do you know any kind of long-term plan?
Yeah, I mean, the next step, obviously, is getting this athletic director position filled. I mean, you know, Donde Plowman had two avenues that she could go forward here. She could either have the football coach position take precedence and say, we're going to fill that position. We're going to do it with an interim AD or you know, organize a search however you want, but we're going to do it without our long-term athletic director, and we're going to do that first. But she chose not to do that. She said, need to get the AD position filled first. And so what that tells me is this is going to be a pretty, you would have to think, pretty quick, expedited search to fill the AD position. You can't let this go on for months and months, because then that new AD has to hire the next head football coach. And in the meantime, you have Kevin Steele serving as acting head coach. You know, it'll be interesting to see where that goes forward. I mean, I would think Kevin Steele is going to want to throw his hat in the ring for the job permanently. And part of his candidacy could be based on, well, when are they actually going to get an AD installed? When is this football coaching search going to start in earnest? And how quickly can they get all the pieces assembled? But certainly step one is getting a new AD. And I think that's something that Tennessee could get done, you know, within a matter of a couple weeks.
Blake, what's kind of the scope of this investigation? I know yesterday we heard Chancellor Plowman talk about level one infractions and things like that. What possible punishments could Tennessee be facing, and or could they kind of get off free where they kind of maybe started this investigation themselves? And just what kind of punishment could Tennessee maybe be looking at?
Well, yeah, I don't think they'll get off free. I mean, usually to get off free, you have to kind of take a hard line stance with allegations and say, you know, we deny this ever happened. If you think it happened, come in and prove it. Well, Tennessee is obviously not taking that stance. It conducted, you know, an investigation of the football program, hired Mike Glazier, the industry's obviously foremost leader in representing universities in these matters. And so the university seems committed to doing a thorough investigation and then to fess up and be honest before the NCAA in terms of what happened. Now, generally, when you take that approach, it leads to a lot of front-end action by the university. I mean, I think, you know, firing 10 individuals yesterday is only part one of that action. You can't just tell the NCAA, yes, we had all these violations, but we fired everybody. Everything's cool now. That's not the way it works with the NCAA. And so I think the next probable step of this that could follow in the months to come is some self-imposed penalties from Tennessee. And that is one method that you've seen some Glazier clients take in the past, not all. You know, I mean, Glazier clients have played hardball too. It just kind of depends what the university wants. But you've seen some of his clients before self-impose penalties to try to avoid stiffer judgment from the NCAA. And then you hope that that's enough. When the NCAA makes a ruling, you hope that they say, okay, you know, you've taken a lot of self-imposed penalties here. We're not going to add much on top of this. But that's not always the case. Sometimes the NCAA says, look, you've got more violations, more severity of violations than you know you're punishing yourself for. We're going to levy some penalties on top. And, you know, I mean, one thing you have to wonder about is could this lead to a postseason ban for Tennessee? You know, could this lead to a bowl ban? I think it's too early to tell without knowing, you know, more about the actual severity of the violation. I mean, it sounds like they're serious, but I guess the actual nature of the violations, it's hard to tell. But I think that's, you know, something that has to be considered to be in play at this point.
Blake, yesterday, Michael Lyons, who will be representing Jeremy Pruitt with this law firm, he kind of came out in a statement and said that Chancellor Plowman, quote, personally confirmed during an in-person meeting with Pruitt Monday morning that the university's investigation had yet to be completed. So with that being said, and kind of what you were just talking about there with Brandon, what do you know about kind of the timeline for the investigation and, you know, when something may potentially get resolved in any kind of extent?
Yeah, I think the university's investigation is probably going to wrap up soonish, you know, maybe in a matter of weeks, I would think. But that's as we talked about, that's only step one. I mean, the university's probe will end much quicker than what the NCAA's will and their ruling on this. And, you know, it's interesting, you know, the statement from Michael Lyons, because he, you know, he's going to defend Jeremy Pruitt against the allegations that Pruitt had a hand in these violations. He says that Pruitt didn't know that these violations were occurring. Of course, Tennessee, you know, they outlined six fire for cause provisions that they say Jeremy Pruitt violated in his contract. And so, you know, Michael Lyons addressed some of those. I don't know if he addressed all of those. And so that will be interesting to see moving forward if indeed Pruitt pursues a wrongful termination suit, which you would have to think that he would at least consider, because I don't know many people that are going to willingly walk away from $12.6 million. Sure. You know, whether you had a hand in something or you didn't, generally you're going to at least contest that and see where it goes, and maybe it leads to some settlement money. But, you know, it's certainly interesting for Tennessee to take the hardline stance of firing Jeremy Pruitt for cause rather than to try to reach a front-end settlement of a reduced buyout. It's not something you see a lot in college football. We've seen some instances of this happen in college basketball. We've seen it happen with Donnie Tindall at Tennessee. But it's pretty rare that we've seen a college football coach fired for cause and be told you're not getting any of your buyout money. And of course, you know, I mean, you have to factor into this that Jeremy Pruitt was 16-19 through three seasons. He wasn't very successful on the field. And I'm not saying, you know, I know there's a theory that Tennessee has concocted this investigation to throw Jeremy Pruitt overboard. I don't believe that Tennessee, you know, concocted this as a witch hunt against Jeremy Pruitt. But that's not to say, you know, if Jeremy Pruitt was 20-10 through three seasons, that it would be firing its coach for cause so willingly. You know, I mean, sometimes whether you're going to go to bat for your coach and try to keep him or not depends on whether you want to keep him. But those fire for cause provisions are in the contract for a reason, and they're in there to allow universities to try to get out of paying the buyout if they think there's grounds to do so and they want to fire that employee.
We are talking right now with Blake Topmeyer, Tennessee football beat writer for the Knox News Sentinel and USA Today Network. Blake, one kind of word that we've been talking about, we've been throwing around here a lot at the beginning of the show, is this is it feels like to us a large reset point for Tennessee. I think a lot of people kind of might have gone into this investigation believing that Pruitt would be involved and maybe you'd have another position coach. We heard a lot about Niedermeyer's name leading into it. But I don't think, you know, a lot of us might not have expected or might have been thrown off by how many people were wrapped up in this investigation. Tennessee fired yesterday Pruitt, Niedermeyer, Felton, the director and assistant director of football player personnel, assistant analyst, quality control coach, four members from the on-campus recruiting staff. How big of a actual reset, you know, do you think this is for a program that's in Tennessee's shape when you kind of do have this big round of clearing house where you do have everybody involved from the head coach to position coaches to, you know, just quality control guys who are on the sidelines? How big of a reset point do you think this is for a college program?
Well, it was going to be a reset anyway, right? Sure. If you're going to fire your head coach with or without cause for whatever reason, if you're going to fire your head coach, most of those individuals that we talked about are not going to be around when the next head coach is going to get hired. I mean, the next head coach is not going to get hired and say, you know what, I think I'm going to keep all these people in the recruiting department that Jeremy Pruitt had, and I think I'm going to keep his player personnel people. That next head coach typically is going to sack most of those people anyway and bring in their own staff and start assembling their own people from the ground up. And so, you know, those seven people you mentioned are at-will employees. They're not protected by a contract. They can be fired at any time, just like I suspect you or I.
Sure.
And so, you know, I think Tennessee was trying to show action here. It was trying to show that it's not going to stand for breaches of its integrity. I mean, I think, you know, Chancellor Plowman and President Boyd were quite clear in that. But the reality is, you know, for those seven individuals, they most likely weren't going to be part of this program long term. And so, you know, you either fire them for cause now or the next coach just overhauls the staff in a month anyway. But I think, you know, Tennessee clearly is opting to show that it is trying to dole out some front end action in this case. And I think, you know, that could be a card to play down the road to show the NCAA that you didn't sit by whenever you found out about this, that Tennessee did in fact take action. Now, like I said, I don't think firing 10 individuals is going to be enough for the NCAA. They need to see some penalty on the program, and so I think that's what we will see going forward is the likelihood of some self-imposed penalties for Tennessee.
And you're talking kind of a long-term penalty there, right, as opposed to just we are parting ways with this individual.
Yeah, the NCAA doesn't see that as a penalty.
Okay.
You know, I mean, that's a staff change. It's not enough in the NCAA's eyes to say, well, we fired the coach. He's not here anymore, so why would we get penalized?
Sure,
you know,
that
you
makes
see
sense.
That you see that all the time, and I think, you know, that's sometimes controversial. What the NCAA does is it penalizes athletic departments or football programs down the road for the actions of predecessors who are no longer there anymore. I mean, sometimes we see this with athletes, like the, you know, some athletes, you know, are found to violate rules, and the punishment comes down after those athletes are no longer enrolled at school anymore, or coaches or athletic directors or what have you. That's typical. Is, you know, in these situations, even if the school cleans house, that's not enough then to say to the NCAA, well, we cleaned house, so, you know, that's that. No penalties are coming. Like, the NCAA doesn't consider staff changes to be penalties.
Blake, maybe just, do you have a couple names as far as maybe potential replacements for athletic director or head coach?
Well, athletic director, I guess I'm kind of subscribing to the same thoughts as everybody else there, is in that if Tennessee wants to make a hire with Tennessee ties, I mean, John Gilbert at East Carolina obviously worked in the athletic department for several years. I mean, Mark Ingram at UAB is someone with Tennessee ties as a player and as an administrator. And so, you know, off the jump, those are a couple names that come to mind that are ADs at Division I universities and have Tennessee ties. Now, if Tennessee wants to consider candidates who don't have Tennessee ties, I mean, I think that opens up a whole branch of other candidates that you could look around. You know, maybe Conference USA, maybe Sun Belt athletic directors who don't necessarily have Tennessee ties, or maybe, you know, deputy ADs at SEC institutions. But Tennessee's track record in scenarios is oftentimes they tend to favor people with Tennessee ties. I mean, you can just look at recently, they anointed Philip Fulmer as AD without so much as a search. When Philip Fulmer hired Kelly Harper, he said that he was restricted to hiring only people who played for the Lady Vols. I mean, before Philip Fulmer, you had John Curry, who had worked at Tennessee. I mean, this is a university, like a lot of universities, that value experience at that institution. Even Chancellor Plowman, you know, before she was in Nebraska, she worked at Tennessee. And so I do think that you have to consider the possibility, at least, that someone with Tennessee ties would be kind of at the top of the list for this job. And to me, that leads you to a couple names in John Gilbert at ECU and Mark Ingram at UAB. But there's other people with Tennessee ties out there as sitting athletic directors as well. So even if Tennessee goes that avenue, they probably got four or five folks they can consider.
Blake, you have you've certainly been around for some groundbreaking moments for this staff here at Tennessee. What moment or memory, either on or off the field, do you think you will remember the most from the last couple of years in the Pruitt era?
Well, the one that stands out to me was at the recruiting celebration in Knoxville last February. Spirits were buoyed by Tennessee's 6-game winning streak to finish the season. The Vols were really excited about their signing class, and Philip Fulmer roared on stage that night in Knoxville that the Vols are back. And it wouldn't be long before they were taking a bite out of everybody's backside, and I'm paraphrasing there. And, of course, that was just 11 months ago, and now you look back on that comment and think how wrong that was. The Vols were not, in fact, back, and now, 11 months later, Jeremy Pruitt is out of a job, and Tennessee's paying him, says they're paying him not a single cent to go away. Philip Fulmer soon will be out of a job. And it's going to be a regime change in Knoxville. And so when I think back just on the Pruitt era, I think about that moment because there was a time, if we're all being honest, there was a time not that long ago within the last year that I think most of us thought, hey, I think this might work out for Tennessee with Jeremy Pruitt as football coach and Philip Fulmer as AD. If you would have taken a straw poll in the fan base on Valentine's Day last year, I think Jeremy Pruitt's popularity ratings, approval ratings would have been through the roof.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Philip Fulmer's would have been fairly solid.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how much can change in a year's time in college athletics, particularly at those two positions, at football coach and AD, there's not much grace period for a year gone bad. And I think we've seen how quickly that can change.
Yeah, and I'll add a sentence into that. After the after you beat Indiana in the Gator Bowl, Jeremy Pruitt said in the locker room, this decade is going to be the decade of the Vols. Hey, well, maybe it still could be down the road. Blake, thanks so much for hanging out with us today. Thanks so much for jumping on the show today and kind of breaking down some of this crazy news with us. We'd love to have you back on the show at some point, maybe later in the week or next week. But, man, thank you again for taking some time out of your busy day to join us here on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
All right. Have a great day. That is Blake Topmeyer of the Knoxville News Sentinel and USA Today Sports. Find him on Twitter at BTopmeyer right there and at KnoxNews.com. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Here we go. We're jumping over to the G3 Help Me Hotlines, and we get a call from Daniel. Welcome to the show, Daniel. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you all?
Hey, not too bad. What's on your mind?
So I have been thinking a lot, and I've been staying up last night, you know, thinking about we need a coach who can actually motivate players. All of these coaches we've had have been good coordinators. They've been good schemers, but they just haven't been able to get that team chemistry that can build a championship team. And so what we need to do is we need to be thinking outside the box. And I have a coach who nobody's talking about, somebody who would really get our team motivated and would be able to be a top-tier recruiter. And I was looking back at college football playoff committee, and they went the route of Condoleezza Rice. They wanted to get a politician who didn't really know anything about football, but she was able to be a great leader and make that committee great. And so we need to be thinking the same thing. I think we need to be going after a politician who is good at motivating players, who would really be able to make them all eat healthy. I mean, she's the only person who could get 500,000 kids to do jumping jacks at the same time. And it might sound crazy, but she doesn't have a job right now. We could throw a bunch of money at her, and I think Michelle Obama would really be probably the best recruiter in college football. Michelle Obama has the poise. She has the leadership. And we just need someone who can lead. If she gets two top-tier coordinators in there, then we're going to be the best team in the country. I mean, Michelle, imagine how many recruits would come.
You think you're Goodwill? You think you're Goodwill? Get out of here!
I'm going to be honest. That did make some sense.
That's nice, Will. Start hearing the Will voice towards the end.
Yeah. Sticky Will.
He had me at first.
Yeah,
he had me at first.
So he kept
very,
going.
Very, it towards the end. Very sticky.
Dang.
He really Condoleezza.
Suggesting we hire Condoleezza Rice.
Michelle Obama, didn't you listen?
Wasn't she like a candidate at one point for something in the Cleveland organization with the Browns?
I don't think so. I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know.
No, I think she was. Let me see.
Sticky Will, huh?
Yeah. This came out in 2018, end of 2018. The Cleveland, the source says the Browns want to interview Condoleezza Rice for the head coaching job.
So that ended up being like a whole different mess.
You know what? I'll say this before the end of the hour. Thank God that the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. Or else I don't know if we would have fired Pruitt yesterday. Freed up the Haslams. Gave them some time.
Maybe somewhere to put their frustrations into.
Yeah. So thank God that the Kansas City Chiefs beat the Browns.
You know, we just tossed back White Claws. The Haslams, to vent frustration, can go around firing football coaches. So, you know, different worlds. Man, it's been a day. We still got an hour left, so don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Blitz on Fan Run Radio.